Hey, this is Thurston. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby. Yeah, keep listening.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting on top of Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we respectfully acknowledge that we broadcast on the unceded occupied territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Coquitlam, Stolo, and Katsi First Nations. Now, typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands. My name is Leslie, and it is yet another week of Typically Tuesdays. Really, just, again, very smooth-brained today, talk-wise. That's not true. I have some thoughts. I went to see a musical. I found out that I might actually not like watching live theater all that much. Certainly an interesting experience. And of course, it was yet another week of Produce 101 Japan Season 3. And I'm a woman of my promises, at least this first week. So stay tuned for that recap of episode 5. On the playlist today, honestly, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Mostly songs from this year. So somewhat new. We got some Feist, and later on we got some Aimeon, Command du Bo, even Tima Likes Music, new music from Tima. So let's get started. Like I said, this is Feist. Oh, okay. Well, I made a choice when I selected the song. This is Song for Sad Friends. I hold you with comfort, sad friends. Enjoy.
Don't be sad, my friend. That's the last thing I'd say. Don't be sad, my friend. That's the last thing you'll hear me say. If you're sad, my friend, why would I take that away? Well, we could pretend that it's not as bad as they say, though there is good and evil locked in that eternal embrace.
Mm-hmm.
Boutillier with Emerald Year off of her latest EP, Emerald Year. My name is Leslie. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Last week, I went to see everyone's favorite anti-capitalist love story musical, Hadestown. Hooray! If you don't know what Hadestown is, I'll save you a Google and I'll explain it in the ways that I know how. So it's a retelling of the tale of Orpheus and Eurydice. And if you don't know that, then you're going to have to Google it. But it's set in essentially a capitalist hellscape. So very close to home. And it is quite frankly an allegory, in my opinion, an allegory as to why unions are so important. Like the dude who plays Orpheus, like literally Orpheus in this musical, he ends up basically like unionizing the workers. We love to see that, but of course it's also like a tragic love story, etc., whatever. In my opinion, it is a tragic story about being an artist in a capitalist hellscape. But you'll not hear my interpretation of the story. What I wanted to talk about today was witnessing live theater for the very first time, witnessing like a professional theater troupe. And witnessing live theater for the first time in almost 10 years. The last musical I watched was in high school. It was our high school's musical. I have to say that although I had heard from a lot of people that theater often is like a very like, it's an art form that a lot of, let's say, somewhat moneyed white families kind of like lean towards when they want to experience art. I had to actually experience that in order to realize the caliber of the truth. I went to the theater alone, okay? I went to the theater alone, and I had a great old ethnic time before that. You know, I was late for lunch with some friends, and so we decided that I would not get lunch with them because I would, like, end up holding them up during their like merch find essentially. And so I went and got ethnic food. I went to get Chinese food, the food of my peoples. Good old ethnic times. And then I get to the theater and I am surrounded by white people. And that is not to say anything, obviously, about white people. Like, living in Canada, you know, you see white people here and there. It's not uncommon. But oh my goodness, I have not experienced that in a very long time. Especially with the fact that there are, like, you know, the theater is pretty big. There are a lot of seats. With that many white people, it was an interesting experience. That is not what made or broke the experience for me, though, of course. Hadestown is, I forgot if I mentioned it earlier, but it's one of my favorite musicals. And one of the reasons why I like it so much is because, well, the music is banging, but there's also this really interesting stage set up, and part of it, there's like this mechanism that sort of like makes or breaks the story. And because the theater that it was hosted in is like, the stage is a lot smaller, and obviously they didn't bring the whole mechanism with them on this tour, that moment of the climax of the musical, it just did not hit me. I, mind you, a few years ago, I think even during the pandemic, I had watched Hadestown via means. And by via means, I mean that somebody was very, very cool and uploaded a sneakily recorded version on the internet, and I watched it. And I remember that viewing, that very first viewing. It took me a really long time to get into the music, and because it's mostly sung through, I didn't really know if I totally followed everything. I had heard a lot about the story, I know what it was about, I'd read the Wikipedia, but I didn't really know if I could, like, follow all the lyrics, and I wasn't super into the songs at that point either. But the moment that mechanism, and if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, and if you haven't, you know, watch, you know, not to put these tours out of business or anything, but, like, you should watch Hadestown on the internet if you can find it. That moment, it tore me to shreds. It was so cool. That, like, whole set design was so cool. And at the same time, I mean, it's Orpheus and Eurydice. It's just like big tragedy, right? I honestly wasn't even that invested in the romance, but oh, that got to me. And I had to watch the whole thing again immediately, like after, like 2 days after. So not that immediately, but 2 days after, I had to watch it again because I had sobbed so hard the first time I watched it. Like, suddenly it mattered to me. And that was actually the reason why I went to go see Hadestown. I wanted to see, yeah, how, like, the little machine would work, if it would be there, if not, how they would do it. And I certainly got some answers. Anyways, go support live theater if you can, because theater is an art form, and it certainly is not always super accessible, but if you have the means to, there are also a lot of other performance-based art festivals and events that happen all around us during the year. One of them being, I want to give a shout out to, is Indie Fest. Now, Indie Fest is a fiercely modern celebration of the most groundbreaking innovations in the performing arts and indie artists who imagine them. Housing cross-sector collaborations and genre-defying works, this festival showcases local indie works at all stages of the creative process, orienting artists and audiences towards a new, hopeful future. In line with that, for this year's theme at IndieFest, it's Future Mythologies, highlighting forgotten histories and empowering BIPOC artists, Black Indigenous People of Color artists, to bring new stories into the world. IndieFest is happening very soon, and if you keep your ears peeled on CJSF later on this week, we're going to be doing an on-air giveaway. So keep tuning into 90.1 FM if you are down to get into IndieFest. It is a one all-access ticket to the event, and it would, you know, it's always a good choice, good time to support local live theaters. Theater One, the concept. So check that out. Keep your ears peeled for that. For now, we're gonna get into more music. This is Kenan with SC. Enjoy. Milk by Abby Sage. My name is Leslie. That is what you just heard. And you're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Just left off talking about Hades Town. It was a thing. It happened. Exists ethnically, I suppose. But let's move into the real meat of the matter here. Welcome to Idol Hell. Welcome to Idol Hell, part 2. This is the segment of Typically Tuesdays where I recap Produce 101, Japan, Season 3, The Girls. In particular, my viewing experience of it. This week we saw the first round of eliminations of 101 girls, 51 were chopped from the competition. What remains are 50 who will enter into the next round of challenges, which is the position battle. Very interesting episode this week, as in I was not interested at all, and I could have totally been happy to not watch it. I do not really like the elimination episodes. I think they're very boring because I'm mostly here to watch performances. And at the same time, like, they have to happen. And I do like to know who makes it into the next round. So there's that. Some highlights of this episode. Number one, I'm going to get the biggest one out of the way. I become a mean person when I watch these shows. I become a mean, nasty, rude old lady. The reason why for this is because you end up finding out the tastes of other audience members, and you end up realizing that there are many audience members who have none. They have no taste. They have no taste. They have no taste! Partly because there are very good contestants on this program who don't end up making it to the top 50. But then, there are also people who make it into the top 11 who I personally think should not be there. I'm gonna share with you one of my least favorite types of contestants, and those people happen to be people whose main talent is that they have big eyes and are young. I'm not gonna name any names because that would be quite a bit rude of me. And I don't hold anything against these contestants, but I do not think that they should be in the top 11, at least at this stage, when they have not shown me, specifically me, that they can rock a stage, that they can rock a performance, essentially. Every year that one of these shows airs, and I watch them, there always happens to be one or two people who end up making it into the final group, largely because they are doe-eyed and in high school. I understand